Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
There is only one King, and Jesus is His name. One day, the Heavenly Father will have Jesus sit on His throne on Mount Zion as undisputed ruler of all the earth. Some men will still try to cast off His authority, but Jesus will deal swiftly with such insubordination. Though He will rule with a rod of iron, He will bring peace and true happiness to all that put their trust in Him. Please open your Bible to Psalm 2, verse 6, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his discussion of this messianic psalm.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless His holy.
Verse 6, yet have I set my king. In spite of what the world says, I've got a king. I got a king. Who's your king tonight? Yeah. Who's your king tonight? There's all kinds of kings that people have. God says, I've got a king. I've set him upon my holy hill of Zion. The holy hill of Zion was the site of the Jerusalem temple. And historically, it was God who gave David his throne on Zion. And it was God who gave David victory after victory as he was used by God to defeat the enemies of Israel. And so without denying a possible historical reference to David here, this was only a picture of even a greater coronation. Because God declares that there is but one legitimate king. And that one legitimate king is His Son, Jesus Christ, who is now seated on the throne of glory. In Mark 16, verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That's where the king is seated right now. Seated at the right hand of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we read, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He needed no help. He did it all. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's seated. He's seated right there. He's not looking at what's going on in America, you know, all of the elections. He's not looking at Venezuela and go, what are we going to do? He's seated. He's seated. And I love what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I don't understand it. I don't know, but He's making intercession for you and me right here. He's making intercession wherever His children are gathered together. Jesus is praying, Father, open their hearts, open their eyes, reveal Yourself to them. That's what He's praying for you. He's not praying that you and I would get a new house, a new boat, a new bike, a new this, a new that. He's praying that our eyes would be open, that our affections would be inclined toward Him, that we would see Him high and lifted up, that we would see Him at the right hand of the Father praying. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father for you. For you. You. Joe, for you. You thank Him. 6 times in the book of Romans, the Spirit of God declares that Jesus Christ is for us. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Right. Amen. Oh, and there are things that come against us, aren't there? A lot of things that come against us. But God's for you tonight. And never confuse the things that you don't understand, that the liar would want you to believe, well, God doesn't love you anymore because of this or because of that. He loves you with an everlasting love. Never doubt that. King, I love that. King Jesus. I love that. This is something about it. King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is both king and priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is the king enthroned in the heavenly Zion. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, we read in verse 22, "But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the God who is the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." That's our home. That's where we're headed. But many times in the messianic prophecies, there's a first coming fulfillment, and then there's a further fulfillment. Prophetically speaking, the anointed of God on Mount Zion is a picture of how Jesus Christ in his millennial reign is going to reign in splendor and glory. Listen to this, beloved. Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, and the sides of the north, the city of the great king." The city of the great king. Great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. Amen? Greatly to be praised. Isaiah chapter 2, I love this, verses 1 through 4. "The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Can you imagine sitting at that Bible study during the millennium? Oh, my, isn't that going to be exciting? And then it says, "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Why? Because the rightful king of the universe is going to be the king over the planet. And when the king is ruling, there is no war. There is no war. The millennial kingdom, that's coming. And now in verse 7, the enthroned king, Jesus, speaks. "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." And so now, Jesus speaking, "I will declare the decree." You recall it at our Lord's baptism. The Father alluded to verse 7 when he announced that Jesus was his beloved son. "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." According to Acts 13, verse 33, Luke makes reference to this verse in the context of the resurrection, indicating that God raised up Jesus from the dead so that his eternal purposes might continue unabated. And once again, God's plan is going to be fulfilled. Nothing's going to stop it. Nothing's going to stop it. The nonsense of man, the rebellion of man, nothing's going to stop the plan of God from being fulfilled. Nothing. And for you, beloved, listen, God designed the day, God determined the day you were going to be born, and God determined the day you were going to leave. God's going to do that. And nothing can take you out until that day comes. Nothing. Nothing can and nothing will. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I love it. I love it that God's got a plan. And it's not a plan that's one on Sunday, then another one on Monday, then a different one on Tuesday. It's not like you and me. Changes. My plans sometimes change by the hour. Oh, maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that. God, he's got it. And notice what the Father says to Jesus. "Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Wait a minute. So when you talk about the uttermost parts of the earth, wait a minute. That's us. Because this is a Middle Eastern book. What was one of the things that Jesus said before he ascended up on high? Beloved, in Acts chapter 1. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, that is martyrs, unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You and I are called to be missionaries for Jesus Christ right here, right now. That's the heart of the Father. That's the Father's heart right there. And you and I are called to be a part of that. Jesus said to the disciples, the Spirit of God's going to come upon you, and you are going to be a witness. You're going to be a martyr. To be a witness, you got to die to self. Being a witness for Jesus Christ is never convenient. It's never comfortable. It's never easy. There's a cost. Not a redemptive cost, but there's a cost to live for Christ in this fallen world. And now notice verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. In verses 8 and 9, we are told that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will break and dash the nations in pieces when he comes again to this earth. The rod which Christ has here is not a scepter, which is an emblem of his royal office. It's actually a rod of correction. It's a rod of chastening. And the fact that the rod is made of iron indicates the severity and the harshness of the judgment that is going to be measured out when he comes again. It will be harsh. The Bible is not a book for the weak of heart. There would be no rating that the movie industry could give to this book. I remember that when we would go through the scriptures with Joshua and Andrew, we'd get to some places and their eyes would be like, huh? Huh? Are you kidding, Danny? What does that mean? Well, it means what it says, son. It means what it says, honey. Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, verse 11. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. That's how you and I make war. Not by being self-righteousness, but in righteousness. And we don't judge. There's one judge. But that's how we make war in this world, by just living for Christ. Just live your life out loud for Jesus Christ. And notice what it says. And he that sat upon him, white horse, is called Faithful and True. I love that tonight. Some of you need to hear that. That the Lord is faithful. And the Lord is true. He never stops being faithful. He never stops being true. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And now here's where you and I come in. You're in the Bible. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth, not ours, it's almost like he says, honey, stay here. I got business to attend to. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And notice, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. How did John know in 90 AD? How did he know what the psalmist wrote? How many knows how many years before? Who knows how many years before Jesus came? One spirit, one author, same thing, one book. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread upon the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And here's the verse. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings, can you imagine when he comes back? King of Kings, Lord of Lords, praise God. And we're going to be following him. Go get him, Jesus. You know, this harsh judgment of Jesus is not inconsistent with his meekness and gentleness. Because meekness does not exclude anger. Meekness simply means that you're angry for the right reasons at the right time. There isn't anger. It's a righteous anger. Unfortunately, I can't say that my anger is always righteous. But Jesus' anger is always righteous. So now, he says in verse 10, "Be wise now, therefore, O you kings." What's the implication? You're not as wise as you think you are. "Be wise, therefore, you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth." Serve. The word serve there in verse 11, it comes from a Hebrew word that means worship. Be wise. Be instructed. Don't rebel against my king. Worship him. Don't fight against him. Worship him. Worship the Lord with fear. Oh, the fear of God. I think the church could use a good dose of the fear of God. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. The book of Hebrews says, "Let us serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." You see, there is reverence, but then there is godly fear. And godly fear means God will scare the hell out of you. The hell's a good word. It's in the Bible. Somebody's going to email me and say, "Well, you said hell on the radio." Well, serve the Lord with fear. Serve him with fear. In other words, don't be afraid. When you fear God, don't fear man. Just do what he tells you to do. And rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Kiss. That was a sign of submission. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Are you trusting him tonight? Maybe you're hanging on by a thread. You're trusting him? Blessed. In verses 10 through 12, five important instructions are given to us. Be wise, be instructed, serve the Lord, rejoice, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son is the Old Testament way of saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we fail to see Jesus Christ in this psalm, we miss its message completely. If we fail to see Jesus Christ in this book, we miss the point completely. In Psalm 2, his death is there, his resurrection is there, his ascension is there, his enthronement and glory is there, his return is there, and his righteous rule of God on earth is there. Just in 12 little old verses. Amazing how God can say so much in such a little space of time. Psalm 1 opens with blessed. Psalm 2 concludes with the promised blessing for who? All those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. It's a promise. And God keeps his promise. He's faithful and true. That word occurs 152 times in the Old Testament and is the rendering of the Hebrew words that mean to take refuge, to lean upon, to roll upon, to wait upon. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Taste and see. Taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You can taste him. You can see him. The Lord is good. Blessed are all those that trust in him. Do you believe that tonight? We're a blessed people. We may not be able to loan one another X amount of dollars, but we're blessed. We're blessed with things that money can't buy. The most precious things are the things that money can't buy. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. In Psalm 84, verse 12, which we will be looking at Sunday for the Lord's Supper. "Oh, Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee." Jeremiah 17, verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord." Let's start out with the bad news. "Cursed be the man that trusts in man, that makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabited. But blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. What are you and I trusting in tonight? Who are we trusting in tonight? Who else can we go to? Who else can we turn to? He's for us. He's not against us. You believe that tonight? Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaf shall be green. Sometimes I feel like a twig. But what's the most important part of a tree? The roots. Bible says, let your roots sink down deep in Jesus Christ. Get the roots of your soul into Jesus Christ tonight. And you know, that promise of blessing still stands for you and me tonight. Remember when Jesus rose again from the dead, he returned to the disciples in the upper room and Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas said, well, if I could only see his scars, then I'll believe. And when Jesus appeared, isn't it amazing? He quoted Thomas verbatim. He wasn't there physically, but he wanted them to begin to understand that he didn't have to be in the same room to hear everything that you say. So he shows up. He says, Thomas, you want proof? And what did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they. Blessed are they. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's you. That's me. That's us. We're a blessed people. Amen. Amen. We can get overwhelmed by the darkness, can't we? Even to a place of neutrality. And we're praying, God, stir us up to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that have not seen yet have believed. Isn't it amazing? We love Jesus more than anyone else. We've never seen him. We're homesick for a place we've never seen. That's the Lord dwelling in you, dwelling in me. And so, Father, tonight we thank you so much. And yet our heart goes out to those that are railing against you tonight, because we know that you're not willing that any perish, but it'll all come to repentance. And I pray, Father, that you would stir our hearts up as a church family to seriously consider the great commission that souls are at risk, Lord. You asked for the uttermost parts of the earth, and that includes East Rochester. That includes Penfield. It includes Walcott. It includes every place. Lord, stir us up, please, to be about your business. And I want to pray for my dear brothers and sisters here tonight. I want to pray for every person here tonight, every family here tonight, every individual watching online tonight. Father, I pray that you would grant a touch of heaven, especially over those with heavy hearts. Lord God, in situations that you call perplex, Father, just comfort them with the comfort of God. Give them encouragement. Give them strength tonight. Lord, give them a song in the middle of the night. Just minister to their hearts, their souls, their minds, their loved ones that they are praying for, that they are concerned for, that we are concerned for. Oh God, we come to you with all of our heart tonight. And we pray for that holy intervention. Jesus, that you would just please do what only you can do in us, in our loved ones, in our church, in the church in Monroe County. And Lord, because you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we ask that you would receive our praises tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord,
O my soul, bless his holy. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship. But no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.